Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is the healthy one. The healthy one who is working hard. Is he not working hard?
He's working hard.
He is working
good,
so
ripped.
Hard.
Did you get a ticket?
For what?
For the gun show that he's going to be having, showing off them guns.
Oh, the guns.
I got my, he's handing them out. He's handing them
right.
out.
How much are the tickets?
Oh, they're free. He wants you to come.
Is that really?
He wants you to come.
Yes, we're talking about the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton. Who he believes in not having the First Amendment rights as he pushed off the off button. And the one, the only, John Ramos.
Hello.
If you missed the first hour, you've got to hear it. It's a complete intense reality check about what's taking place with another murderer, another abortion doctor who is being brought to account as those around him are coming and testifying. Listen, God is answering our prayers. Begin to pray and call out for justice. Understand, get yourself right. If you haven't heard, watch No One Cries for Justice on BFN TV, I would encourage you to watch that first.
Yeah.
And the sentencing took place. We talked about it. Three death sentences, life sentences for the three deaths of the children that Dr. Gosnell is being held accountable for in Pennsylvania. And so much more. You've got to catch the first hour. You've got to catch it. We're going to be talking having a moment with Steve Hill, the third part of the interview with Dr. Ben Carson, a brain surgeon. And also, hopefully, to hear a fresh look at Tozer. What he had to say about how we should live our life and how, I guess, how we're living it. As if this is our last day.
That's right.
This is our last message, and we're going to be with Jesus tonight. Work like he's not coming back for 100 years and live like he's coming back today. Yes, you're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me, of course, the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Guns himself. And the one, the only, John Ramos.
Hello.
He's ruthless with that finger, ain't he?
Like, oh, my goodness.
That finger has been on a long journey.
Oh, yes, it has.
It started on 57th Street. It was like this first. It was like this. And it went from like this. And then, right, did it start like this? Like that?
Yeah.
This man paid me with a computer, and then it went to... click, 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 click.
Yeah, click. Tick,
I mean, if you can count the clicks,
tick, tap.
I mean, do whatever you can do for God. I mean, if all you can do is move your finger and click, listen, you can do big things for God.
That's right.
You can do
That's
big
right.
things for God.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, it makes me think of the movie that Steve was so intensely talking about that he enjoyed watching, and it was about this whole generation that grew up and all they did was move their finger. They would watch a TV continually. There was chair. It was like a chair, and they would sit in the chair, and the TV was connected to the chair.
Uh-huh.
Mm. And the thing.
Oh, you know.
Yeah. He was just like, oh, you got to see this thing. You got to see this thing. I'm thinking like, oh, my goodness. And he's really talking about how what America has become. And I thought, well, I got to see it. And then it was a cartoon.
Oh, gosh.
You know, I lasted about 5 seconds later. I saw the chair, saw the TV, and went boom. I was out. I guess it was a cartoon.
Yeah, it's Wall-E. What's the name of the movie?
Well, Wall-E.
Wow, look at
it. Was Wall-E. So I did watch the first 5 seconds of it. I saw him in the chair.
Wow.
And every now and then I kind of open my eyes and look, and there he was sitting in the chair.
If you've got kids, you've seen them all.
But it was true. I mean, you think about it, that so that he is definitely clicked his way into.
Oh, yeah.
Into history.
A few times.
History. And speaking of being able to move your finger and do some damage, you know, that we found out that according to what we saw Chris do.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, when I said, listen, I want you to share this video with the whole crew, all that's watching VFN TV around the world, and just kind of show this nice, nice dance. and he gave it back to me. I'm like, this is like the river dance or something. What is going on? It was amazing. And you think, well, that's got to be over. And it's like, nope, there's 15 more of hers.
He had skills to pay the bills on that one. I'll tell you.
That was good.
That was very good.
Make friends with your editor.
Ooh.
Make friends with your editor. That finger can do some damage.
Serious.
Oh, sure.
But we can always hire another editor to
balance
the scales a little bit. just for the 40th. Is it the 40th coming up or the 60th?
Yeah, he's got a 40th coming up. Sure 60th. Does.
Yeah, I think 40th. Both of y'all do. Yeah,
but I'm the editor. So.
Well, it'd have to be all audio, right? Like, behind the camera. right.
One take.
You'll have to, like, you know, sign language. What you do is you just have clips of my facial expressions as I'm looking at him behind cameras, and I'm going like, what? I'll never forget the first time we went live on the air. It was broadcasting all over, and of course, just amazingly, you know, God's favor. But the whole time, he just kind of stared at me as the producer doing the editing, and I'm in front of the cameras, and I'm looking at him. And his eyebrows are so high, they're touching a 10-foot ceiling in the studio, and they didn't come down the entire time.
Wow, that's always encouraging when you're recording.
I know.
Live.
I mean, it was just like a thumbs up, maybe. Yeah. Hey, are we on the
a
air?
Smile.
I mean, what's going on right here?
You know, I'm engaged. I'm here. Oh yeah.
What it is? He was in total shock that what he was doing was working.
But I've had that feeling before.
Speaking of that, Disney Broadcasting, according to the Blaze Television, was just talking about they're on the cutting edge. As a matter of fact, listen up to this report right here as Glenn Beck was sharing what Disney was doing.
This way, but this is...
It's breaking news. Listen up.
I'm sorry to start the show this way, but this is... breaking news, and this comes, I just want to show it to you so you know that it's real. This news just comes in from Reuters, and this is unbelievable. Apparently, Disney's ABC network is going to become the first broadcast network, get this, to stream its shows live online through something like an ongoing service starting.
What a concept.
Wow.
That is amazing.
I've never heard of such a thing.
That Disney, like Mickey's going, you know what's going to happen here? We're going to be the first ever. Mm. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Totally amazing.
With viewers on TV in New York and Philadelphia. And then they're going to do this everywhere. And apparently... you'll be able to watch your television program.
No, you're going to watch your television program. Oh, my goodness. Listen, oh, my goodness.
Program, which you could get on, you know, cable or in broadcast. You could watch that, it's hard for me to even say, on, like, your iPad or something.
Oh, my
An
goodness.
An iPad?
Oh, my goodness. You know,
really?
I thought Mickey was a little slow, but we're talking about. You know, it's great to know that you're ahead of Disney, and God's brought. You know, if you follow the Lord, you can be ahead of the Disney production line.
How about that?
Think about VFN TV reaching the world. Disney's just now. Although they're saying they're the only ones that's out there.
Yeah, interesting.
Listen up.
Thing they call an app.
An app.
Futuristic nonsense. Huh. Please, it'll never happen.
Oh, it's so amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my.
So you are listening to the cutting edge technology. Yes, Disney is following our lead.
Absolutely.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Absolutely.
It is so amazing. It is really good to see them catching up. When I always thought they were on the cutting edge, so much for Epcot being on the edge of all the inventions going on.
I know that's right.
I know that Walt Disney's probably rolling in his grave going, you know, I told you a long time ago.
I told you to follow VFN Radio.
Yeah, right.
You got to listen to this. Steve Hill, you know, was just recently talking, and he was speaking to a pastor, a minister, and I mean, you think about it today, you know, what's being told to so many people and taught just by actions or inactions is like, you know, it's not if you're ruffling feathers, if you're telling people things that cause them to be challenged and they might get angry with you, then you're doing something wrong, because you should be able to have peace and everything should get along. Matter of fact, listen to Steve here. Listen up.
I asked the pastor the other day. I said, "How's it going?" He said, "Fine." I said, "What?" He said, "Fine." I said, "You mean everything's going great?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "What are you preaching?" Mm. I'm saying that to you, sir, ma'am. What's coming out of your mouth? Jesus said if they hated him, they would hate you. And don't talk to me about crowds. I've seen crowds. I've been in crowds. I preached in stadiums and arenas. It means nothing. Jesus had the crowds and he said, hey, drink my blood. Eat my flesh. And they said, this is too difficult for us. They basically did this. Stay out of our lives. We enjoy where we're at and what we're doing.
It makes me think about Tozer.
Yeah.
When Tozer said a voice instead of an echo. Mm. A voice instead of an echo. He says, but Peter and John answered and said to them in Acts chapter 4, verse 19 through 20, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things we have seen and heard. He goes on to say, to escape the snare of artificiality is necessary that a man enjoy a satisfying personal experience with God. He must be totally committed to Christ and deeply anointed with the Holy Spirit. Further, he must be delivered from the fear of man. The focus of his attention must be God and not men. He must let everyone dear to him ride out on each sermon. He must so preach as to jeopardize his future, his ministry, even his life itself. He must make God responsible for the consequences and speak as one who will not have long to speak before he is called to judgment. Then the people will know they are hearing a voice instead of a mere echo. God tells a man who cares, Lord, you think about this as a prayer that you could have, a man that cares. Lord, I'm going to sit quietly before you this morning and make sure these challenges are indeed the expressions of my heart today. Amen.
Powerful. Because what's needed right now is a voice. I mean, I think of John the Baptist, who was a voice in the wilderness.
Yes.
John the Baptist wasn't an echo. He was a man on fire preparing the way of the Lord.
He knew God.
And he was ready to do what God told him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And God's raising up. He's raising up men and women who are going to be that voice. Listen, you know, the time for echoing, come on now.
Oh, yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah, please.
No copy, paste, you know, revelation here. Listen, it's our inheritance.
Yeah.
To be with God, to abide in him, to have communion and fellowship. We were designed to hear his voice and to speak from knowing him, not about him. Why would we settle for religion when God is clearly speaking? And he wants to use you.
Yeah.
And I like what he says, you know, in this, and this is a meditation from Tozer, he must let everything dear to him ride out on each sermon. In other words, you let everything go.
Let it go.
You lose everything. And then he says, he must so preach as to jeopardize his future, his ministry, even his life itself. And so many people are so cautiously trying to make every, you're trying to figure out, it's like, are you trying to hear from God or are you just trying to keep your stuff? Because you're telling me you're trying to hear from God, but the reality is you're trying to follow God and keep your things and stuff and job and things you want. And it's like, at least be honest with it, because you're misleading a lot of people when you're saying you're trying to see how you can follow God and you're, what the fullness of that is.
That's
is
right.
That you're saying that I'm trying to see how I can keep everything I want and follow God at the same time. But Jesus said, you know, unless you give up everything, you can't even be my disciple. And
right.
And what he's saying is, like Tozer says, you got to let everything dear to you ride out on every time you talk about God. In other words, it's in your hands, but you're not in its hands.
Listen, it's the last, maybe the last opportunity you get to speak to anyone. Don't know.
Yeah.
I think about D.L. Moody who preached this amazing word of God, word of the Lord, and he told the congregation at the end of this gathering, of this sermon, I want you to think about this and pray about this message and what God's speaking to you, and we're going to come back tomorrow night, and we're going to repent. I want you to really think about this. Well, that night, there was a huge fire.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
Many of those people died.
Oh, wow.
And they never got the chance to come back and to repent.
Oh, my God.
And even he himself, then he had to jump out the window.
Yeah, that was Levin Ravenhill.
Okay, Levin Ravenhill.
You know, but my goodness.
You don't know.
And that's why we have to seize the opportunity that we have in the lifetime of that opportunity is to authentically and lovingly share with people, listen, I got to tell you the truth because I care about you and I care about God. But what happens is you can't care about yourself, because if you're caring about your reputation or the fear of man or what they're going to think about you and hurting people's feelings, then you're not going to tell them the truth.
Yes.
You got to care about God and them.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the aspect of that too is that so many people live with an assumption. They assume everything. They assume love. They assume salvation, and they assume they have tomorrow. Mm. And it's so frustrating to be around a whole bunch of assumers. I mean, you could abbreviate that, you know, AASS period, but just assuming everything. Is, are you that confident a God who you say you know but you don't know, whose Bible you don't even read, who you don't even pray to, you're going to sit here and lead people and assume that you're right with God, assume that your marriage will survive, assume that you'll have family, assume that you'll have a job tomorrow, assume that when you go to the to the judgment seat of Christ that you're going to enter in, you're going to live your life on an assumption? I mean, it's time to realize that this is Tozer. You have to understand, this is a man of God who gave it all for God.
Yeah.
And we're talking about him today. And he said, preach like at the end of this, you're going to be standing for judgment. In other words, everybody's going to be held accountable for what they did and didn't do. And the biggest thing in America right now is didn't do. If you die now without, it's not good for most Americans because didn't do anything.
That's right.
You didn't do anything. But now you can eliminate tomorrow's regrets today by beginning to say, you know what? From the rest of my life and whatever life that is that I got left, Lord, I'm giving it to you. I don't care if I'm 70 or 7. I'm giving my life to you. I'm going to be, let everything ride. Every time I open my mouth, everything's going to ride. And I'm going to do just like Tozer talked about in this particular meditation. I'm going to preach and talk about God in such a way that's going to jeopardize my future, my ministry, and even my life itself.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Can your kindergartner be told they cannot share a song with the class because it mentions Jesus? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulo.
A couple of weeks ago, my son's in kindergarten. The teacher allowed a couple other students to sing a song that they wanted to share with the class. A couple of days after that, my son went up to the teacher, asked to share a song about Jesus, and she basically said, no, we can't do that at school.
Well, that's incorrect. If it's the students are allowed to perform music, and it's music of their choice, your son should have been able to sing the song about Jesus. We've had dozens of cases of those over the year, and the teacher's just absolutely incorrect. It's not only an overreaction, she's wrong on this. Let me get you in touch with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice. We'll get you in touch with our legal staff and get some help to you right away.
Find out more at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Well, you know, John, I was just thinking about, you know, how important it is that when you get, you're walking with God and you've been abiding with God, and all of a sudden God's calling you to the next level. And we're looking around today when we're actually talking this moment, and there's just, we don't like to think about it, but there is a religious spirit. There's a religious spirit, you know. We don't like to say it too much because it's so prominent, you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, if you say it too loud, then people are going to start thinking maybe I have it, you know. I being them. And, you know, and so, I mean, people are literally telling people by their
by the forcefulness of the spirit on them. They might not say anything, but the forcefulness of it, and Satan's interpreting it that way. Satan's making people interpret it that way, and they're believing the accuser, saying that you know, you're not qualified. You're not good enough to be a protector of God's people, a shepherd, a preacher, wow. A minister of the gospel. You know, and minister means servant, by the way. It doesn't mean, you know, et cetera. You know, it just means you're just servant. And so they're basically, you know, Satan's saying, you know, the lie is from this religious spirit is that you're not good enough to be a servant. Is that crazy? Mm-hmm. You know?
So true, though. So true.
It is. And so what's being said by this religious spirit is you got to get to my level. If you get to my level, then you can do what I'm doing.
Right.
And it's like, but you're trying to kill me right now, you know, in what you're doing. And we're just trying to love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. And every time somebody begins to stir for God in your city, you immediately just snuff them out. And you don't even see that you snuffed them out.
Wow.
You know, we don't need to get that smart. That's a little too smart, you know, when we actually, we think that you know, we can stop, you know, we have a place that we can actually stop what God's doing, God's moving someone's heart, that type of thing. It's a religious spirit, it's what it is. You know, it's a religious spirit. And so,
Well, great, think about this. Yes. Think about the disciples. Mm-hmm. I mean, would they even be qualified under the religious spirit this day? Jesus just told Peter, do you love me?
Right.
If you love me, feed my sheep.
Right, right.
Feed.
Right. That's exactly it. You know, and that was the word that God gave me when he called me out to be a pastor at one time in my ministry. It was, if you love me, just feed them. Three times he told me, just like he told Peter, you know, feed them. And of course, the first thing we think is everybody knows. But when you start moving in God and you start hearing what he's saying and you get trained up in the things of God, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about VFNU, you know, mm-hmm. Vine Fellowship Network University, that you need to get not trained up in religion. You don't need to get trained up in how to meet some hierarchy, because a servant of God is about humility and is finding out how low can I go? How dependent can I be on God? How close can I get to zero so that Jesus can be my hero? You know what I'm saying? He can begin to do all this work through me, right?
It's not about an oratorical gift or nothing like that.
No, it's not. As a matter of fact, Paul said, you know, when I come to you, I make sure, even though I can do something, I can come to you with enticing words. He says, I'm very cautious that I don't do that. And it's been done so much to, I know, a lot of people in America that they're not satisfied unless somebody gives them some oratorical expounding on the whatever, you know. And it's like, you know, I'm going to make you... you know, I won't show me fruit. I'm not gonna stimulate you that way. I'm gonna talk to you and have a conversation with you. And if you want to find out more about just serving God, you know, just knowing more about Him, joining the family, God, finding out, you know, how does the family function? How can you have government in family? I mean, you know, so often we're bringing the world's government into the church, and it's just not that way. No. And so you can find out more about that if you're interested. Just go to vfnu.org. Don't be intimidated by that religious spirit. The very thing that's on them that's trying to stop you is evidence that God has called you and has a plan for your life. Don't let the enemy stop you. Go to vfnu.org today.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. Well, my goodness, we just finished talking about Tozer, A.W. Tozer, man of God. And the question is, are you going to be a voice, or are you just going to be an echo in these times that we're living in? I'm telling you, it's time to be a voice for God. You know, we're getting ready to share the third part, actually, of the Ben Carson interview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, we've had first part and the second part available for you on the Torch. We're going to make sure that all three are connected so that you can see the whole interview in its entirety. But God is using a brain surgeon.
Brain surgeon.
I mean, this man's testimony is absolutely amazing. Totally loves God, loves this country, loves the Constitution, and amazing what, you know, God has in store for you. You know, I'll tell you, he'll take the lowest person in society and God will raise you up. And now he's giving them a voice.
Right.
And we're just talking about a voice, giving them a voice. And one man that stood boldly and spoke at a prayer breakfast, you know, a lot of people heard of him.
Yeah.
He's been around for many, many years. Yeah. And they've actually made a movie about his life. And Cuba Gooding played a lead role. In fact, it's called Gifted Hands. Excellent family movie. And he just recently spoke, not too long ago, a few months ago, at a prayer breakfast, in fact, where the president was.
Yep.
And if you heard Ben Carson speak, you don't believe
Man,
in no
political.
He doesn't believe in political correctness. I mean, he speaks what I like to call English.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
Definitely he says what he means and he means what he says. And as a result of speaking truth, I mean, he's been on a media blitz campaign. They just, I mean, they're inviting him everywhere.
Everywhere.
And they're saying, talk to us. Share. What's happening? What's going on? Who are you?
Yeah. Are you running for president?
Yeah. Are you running
for
president? So we want you to listen. We want you to listen to Ben Carson. He was the lead head chair person there at Johns Hopkins Medical University Hospital for many, many years. And I think he's retiring. He's retiring, I believe, this year. And you really want to listen to the words of wisdom. We're going to have you listen. Listen up.
And our country is supposed to be for, of, and by the people, not for, of, and by the government. And we have all of these economic geniuses who say, well, the reason you don't understand why spending more money will get us out of this is because you're just too stupid. You see, we are the great, wonderful Oz. We know how it works. And yet, have they gotten us out of anything?
No.
Of course not. You know, common sense. Maybe what we need to do is just get rid of all the people in Washington and bring some farmers in and some plumbers and some people. You know, in fact, that's the way it was supposed to be in the beginning. We were supposed to have a representative government with people from all walks of life so that all the interests could be placed on the table. Instead, what we have is all the special interests placed on the table. In fact, that has become the fourth branch of government, special interest, and it's more powerful than all the others. And it used to be a sacrificial life. When people went to Washington, they were sacrificing to do so. They didn't have fat salaries. They didn't have a lot of benefits. And you didn't really have to worry about them making it into a lifetime ambition. They were happy to serve and to come back. And then somebody else went and served. And that way, you stay close to the needs of the people. When you get people who are lifetime politicians, they get further and further away from what is important to the populace.
Absolutely.
They begin to develop this elitist attitude that they know what's best. The people don't know what's best. You know, it's like with the health care mandate. The majority of people didn't want it. We don't care what you want. You'll like it. As Nancy Pelosi said, you got to pass it to see what's in it. You know, come on. You know, I mean, is that an elitist attitude?
Oh, boy.
Or as opposed to what and who do we represent? And that's what people have to remember. And, you know, maybe we need another constitutional convention. Maybe we need to change the way we do things. Maybe we shouldn't, you know, elect people every 2 years so that they spend 60% of their time running for office. You know, maybe we should revisit the whole idea of lifetime appointments for federal judges, because at the time when we put that in place, the average age of death was 47, you know, so it really didn't matter. But now, you know, people live a whole lot longer than that. You know, there's, you know, we have not changed with the times. When we put Social Security into effect, you know, the average person did not live, you know, long enough to really collect. And, you know, it wasn't supposed to be the end all for your retirement.
Right.
All of these things have been distorted and migrated and changed into entitlement programs that create the wrong kind of mentality in people. And we need a national awakening on these things. And we need honest leaders who can explain these things to people rather than people who are simply interested in perpetuating their party and their power. Again, I go back to what God said, proportionality. if you have a gazillion dollars, you're going to pay a whole lot into the pot. And if you have very little, you're going to put very little in the pot. But you do have skin in the game. Why is that such an important concept? Because if everybody has skin in the game, it forces the government to be responsible.
Add to all the people.
To all the people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's easy when you can say, oh, I'm just going to raise it on this 1% or this 2% or this 5%. And you 95%, don't worry. We'll take care of you. In fact, why don't you vote for me to raise it more on them? You know, I mean, come on. You know, it's a pretty obvious ploy what's going on. And we need to really start thinking about what is truly fair. You know, think about, you know, the fact that we have the highest corporate tax rates in the world. And we sit there and we blame corporations for going somewhere else. We need to understand something very basic here. Companies are formed to make money.
And pay people.
They're not formed to be social welfare organizations. Okay, so you need to understand that first. If you think that the purpose of the company is a social welfare organization, then you're probably a socialist. Okay, so you need to understand a little bit about how capitalism works. And what we need to do is be competitive with the world. Everybody else has lowered their rates so that they could attract our business. We shouldn't be the last ones to say, oh, is that what's going on? You know, we should be the first ones to understand what's going on. Lower rates, bring our people back, bring those businesses back,
right.
Bring all that money back that's being hidden so that it can explode our economy and create jobs for people. Why are we so mystified that jobs are so stagnant? It's because we have policies that stagnate jobs. You know, this is not rocket scientists. That you don't need to be a rocket scientist to understand this is very plain common sense. And I think that's the reason that so many people have resonated with what I said at the prayer breakfast. Just plain common sense. And we don't seem to have anybody who represents that anymore. And we got to do it. And I got to tell you, unfortunately, this is not a Democrat or Republican Mm-mm. problem. Mm-mm. This is across the board. And so, you know, this is not a partisan statement. The fact of the matter is we have got to begin to use those brains that God gave us to do simple things like we would do in our household. You know, when it comes to this whole sequestration deal, you know, the obvious answer is you cut everything proportionately.
Absolutely.
Across the board.
Absolutely.
Because the leaders of every department know where the fat is, and they will cut the fat out first.
That's right.
That's all you have to do.
If they think they will, if they're thinkers.
But, you know, this, you know, we can't cut 2%. Oh, the world's going to come to an end. You know, come on. I don't think even the stupidest person believes that.
Amazing. Amazing. We're listening to Ben Carson, a neurosurgeon, just offering some basic common sense.
Who would have thought?
I mean, common sense. I mean, it talked about some really deep things here that make so much sense. And one of the things he was talking about is, listen, you know, there used to be a time where we elected officials to represent us, and it was a sacrifice. It was an honor. They were leaving, you know, their places of maybe prominence in their local community, but said, listen, for the good of the people. You know, a lot of people ran a long time ago because people encouraged them to run and said, listen, you're a man of integrity. You're a woman of integrity. Mm-hmm. We need you up there representing us. Would you consider leaving what you're presently doing now to represent us in the government?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a sacrifice for them. But here recently, in recent times, you're looking at people that have, and politicians that have made this a career. You know, a lifetime appointment, when you're there, you know, 6 and 12 and 20 years, it makes so much sense. You're saying that they become elitist,
mm-hmm.
and they start telling the people what's best for them.
Right.
Instead of the people saying, wait a minute, you are our representative.
Right.
And we need to tell you
what we want.
What we want done. Hello.
Yeah.
You know, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that a medical doctor is saying the people didn't want this. They did not want this.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a government that was saying, no, we know best.
We know better than you do.
We know best. And one of the things he was talking about is proportionality. And I think that's so important. He actually says that we should do what the Lord has given us, you know, has showed us in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to tithing, when we tithe across the board 10%,
mm-hmm.
that means the richest person, believer in the world, is going to tithe 10%.
Right.
Just like the poorest believer in the world is going to tithe 10%.
Right.
That is equality, that is equal, and then they're all participating in honoring the Lord. When you have the government and everyone that's tithing, mm-hmm. if you will, paying their taxes, not tithing, but paying their taxes,
mm-hmm.
whether it's 10% or whether whatever percentage it is, if everyone is paying their taxes, not just the rich,
all right.
it's very important. Because what he's saying is that, and it makes so much sense, is that the government now is accountable to everybody because everyone has contributed. Everyone has paid mm-hmm. into the system.
All right.
As opposed to just the 5% or the 10% of the rich
right.
population that's paying, and the rest of you guys don't pay anything.
Exactly.
Because then you begin to twist the system, and now you can vote anyone in as long as, you know, just make sure, when we'll vote you in, just make sure you tax those
yeah.
other guys. And
right.
we talked on VFN Radio what happens when you keep taxing the rich. They're already paying taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, rich people, I'm going to share a secret with you, but don't tell anybody, okay? We're gonna release this now on VFN Radio. I'm going to share with you a secret. Rich people, they have money. And you know what you can do when you have lots of money? You can do things. Like take your lots of money and put it in another country.
Yeah, move.
Where they're going to tax you less. I mean, it's like, catch a clue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the people that have a lot of money, they're not stupid. You know what I mean?
Well, they have a lot of money.
Exactly. And so if you keep taxing them and you keep taking from them, they're simply going to do what they have already done in Great Britain. What we've talked about VFN Radio, what mm-hmm. that French actor did. He took his money, went straight to Russia.
Yep.
What the Facebook co-founder did,
mm-hmm.
took his money and went to Singapore.
Right.
And said, I'm not paying any taxes here. And
He renounces citizenship.
Think about that. You renounce your citizens of the United States.
When people are trying to become citizens, he's like, I'm out of here.
I'm out of here with my
money. Wow.
Think about that. Things that make you go, And so once that money is gone, then guess what? The tax burden still has to be paid.
Yeah.
But now we have less
people
to pay it that had already the money, and now you're going to try to get more from people who have less money. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. We talked about these corporate taxes for these businesses. I mean, come on, give me a break. That's why people get in business. They're making money. They're business owners. When people create businesses, they create jobs. I mean, you want to do everything you can to empower people, not to work for someone else. But, you know, think about working for yourself.
Yeah.
But think about it. Our system right now is so encourages people to get a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of starting a good business.
Mm-hmm.
And a good business, let me tell you something about what's good about a good business. You tell me a business that doesn't provide solutions. You tell me a business, every business provides a solution, an answer to a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A good business.
Yeah.
You got foolish things out there, but the great majority, the great majority of businesses are, look, the ones that are really super successful,
mm-hmm.
they're providing a solution to an issue. And how can we want to encourage that. We absolutely want to encourage that. This is the third part of an interview that was aired.
James Robinson.
James Robinson. And right. It's absolutely wonderful. You can hear it in its entirety. We'll have all three segments and interviews connected for you on The Torch. But we also want to encourage you to go ahead and purchase Dr. Carson's book. He has a great book called America the Beautiful. You can find it on The Torch. It'll take you directly to Amazon. But buy the book. Read it. Encourage it. Listen to this segment again and share it with your friends, because we need people that love God. We need people that love the Constitution and that want to see America stand. We don't want to lose this amazing country. And if
right.
you don't think that we can lose this country, my goodness, look at the history books.
That's right.
There have been great civilizations to arise,
mm-hmm.
and there have been great civilizations to fall.
Yeah.
I mean, Alexander the Great. I mean, that'll tell you enough right there. I mean, they just conquered. Where are they?
Yeah, gone.
Where are they? Look, in recent times, what happened to Great Britain? I mean, all these countries, all these places that are not part of their kingdom anymore. Let me tell you something. We can lose America. You got to think of it. We can actually lose it. But if we wake up, we turn our hearts back to God, we repent, we seek God's will first. We don't vote our pocketbooks, but we vote our conscience before the Lord. And we protect this Constitution that God's given us. Let me tell you something. America can remain the great country that God has allowed it to be.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
You know, John, a lot of conversations I've had with people, you know, people are expressing a lot of hardship and difficulties bringing up family, you know, bringing up fathers, you know, and families are really going through a lot of hardship right now, and it's difficult. It's hard being family. And, you know, personally, that's where I was as well. And when I got introduced to the VFN family, it totally encountered me in a new way. And Jesus Christ used the VFN family to just display his love and, you know, the power of his presence through the VFN family to just draw me to himself. And I just want to encourage you that if you've grown up and you just had a lot of hardships, a lot of difficulties, a lot of pains, and family's been difficult to you, I just want to encourage you that, you know, the VFN family, we're just centered around Jesus Christ and just trying to love other people, love God, and just lead others to do the same. I just want to encourage you, check out vfnfamily.org.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. I was at the hardware store.
Wait a second.
Wait.
What? Wait. Back up. Don't even go any further. What was that?
Say that again.
You were where?
You were what? You were lost?
What?
I was searching hardware on Amazon.
Exactly.
No, it was. I actually was at the hardware store. And
were you lost? Looking for tools. The barber?
This has to be interesting. He wanted excitement, right?
Yeah. Well, you know.
This has to be interesting.
Well, you know, it was. They have like tools and things there. And stuff. And I'm walking around looking at, they have like aisles and numbers and, you know, things that I've never been to. Anyway, I just stand there somewhere in an aisle and call the store. Hey, I'm looking for screws. Where are you? Hello. Anybody here? And I'm having to find, actually, Pat and I went to the store sometime back, this hardware store. I needed a drill. I got to have a drill. And we come out, and he comes out, and he's the one that bought a drill.
I didn't get a drill.
And if you don't have a teenage son, you don't understand, but you will one day. Just plan in your future to get new tools.
Yeah, right.
And, that old thing? He's like, yes, that old thing. And so we walked out, and he came out with a real nice tool, it's drill and all that. But I realized later on, really? When I had to, I mean, that's a shame. There was a day that you actually screwed a screw in with the screwdriver.
With your hand.
You know, labor.
I pondered that before this, and I thought, I'm going to go get that drill. And I didn't know. There's two things that Pat introduced to me
Well, other things we're not going to talk about. But yeah, the two things
is
totally
a family program.
It's frozen. Oh, well, frozen food. I had no idea that you could actually, everything's frozen.
Frozen. Everything.
It don't matter what it is. I mean, I think his Bible
chicken
comes out of the freezer.
Pie, anything. Just
before he
in
abides
there.
In the morning, I think his Bible comes out of the freezer and puts it in the microwave.
It's defrosting.
I warm it up.
And the other thing was that everything, no matter what it is, if it runs on electricity, it also will run on a battery. I'm serious. Prior to God bringing us together, that when we were in the plastic fabrication business, he was a master fabricator, and I hired him to come work for me, and he organized all the inventory.
The scrap.
Okay, until you had your own company. And I just didn't know it. And he you have these drills, and you put a battery pack on. I mean, today they're commonplace, but back then, it was amazing. I mean, the battery pack was like a 15-pound battery. You know, you put a backpack or something in the car to come around. No, but it was amazing. So you can get a battery for everything. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing like taking a cord and plugging it into a receptacle to know that you don't have to go, I can't believe this battery's not charged up.
Yeah, right.
How many times have we heard that?
Yeah, he has not been introduced to the extension cord yet. So everything's on batteries. I mean, as a matter of fact, you should have a battery car. You and President Obama, you know, he has a new car industry now, runs on what are the batteries? Everready's or something? The Everready car?
I don't know, but, you know, he's very, I think that'll fit you, Pat.
I can see him stuck on the road somewhere. Oh, this battery wasn't charged up.
That'd be my luck.
How would that limousine move? That's what I want to know with that battery.
I don't know.
You need a super duper battery for that.
He's so far back from the motor, he probably can't even hear it run. So he's probably thinking about it.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. Joining with me today is the man, Guns. Limousine owner, jack of all trades, you know it, that's right, Pat Hamilton.
Uh-huh.
Oh, don't act like you don't know. Don't act like you don't know you the man now. Don't be shy and all, you know, sitting over there like you're not the man. You hear this, Chris? Cricket, cricket,
I don't
cricket.
Hear none, yeah. There's a cricket button over there.
Where is the cricket button? I want to find the cricket button.
Yeah, it's right here.
There it is. See, that's there it is. We get talking to Pat. There it is. Well, we want to welcome you back. We just finished talking about Ben Carson, Dr. Ben Carson, a refreshing voice in the season and the timing that we're living in. And let me tell you, God is raising up voices. Voices are going to speak truth, not people that are singing echoes. Mm. Abide with God. Hear his voice. And say everything that he tells you to say. You know, guys, I was reading an abiding the other day, and I was reading a 2 Peter, and I couldn't get past the first verse.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't get past the first verse, but 2 Peter chapter 1, the word says that Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. I just love this. Verse 2. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You're talking about grace and peace be yours in abundance. Let me tell you something. God wants to pour out his grace and his peace upon you. And you start realizing how much that you've been living outside of the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
You need God's grace. You need God's grace because God's called you to live a life beyond what you can do in your own strength.
Yeah, which is very limiting.
Very limited. I mean, you can fool yourself and you can, you know, and men have accomplished great things. But I think about how much more and what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
If they relied fully on the grace that God wants to lavish. And so much is done or not done because of the calculations. I mean, how many calculations? Well, I can do that. I can't do that. I can do this, I can't do that. Well, how much? And, well, you know, and calculating and calculating and calculating. And it's like, where is God in all this? Mm-hmm. Where is, are you relying on yourself, your resources, who you know, your past experiences? Or are you relying on God and his grace? And we must get it in our mind that we are nothing. We're nothing mm-hmm. apart from Jesus.
That's right.
I mean, what are we're nothing. And his grace is about him. It's not about us. You know, if I'm not crying out for his supernatural empowerment, right? If you're not crying out for supernatural mm-hmm. empowerment, then you're living out of your own personal empowerment. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. If you're everything you're doing is in your own strength, and you're not crying out for God, I need your help, I need your grace, mm-hmm. I need your supernatural empowerment and favor on my life, that means that your default setting, which is get up and go, and I'm doing everything in my own strength. And one of the reasons why things become so overwhelming, they become so burdensome, they become so fearful, is because you're living in your own strength. You're allowing the fear and the daunting tasks to overtake you. Well, let me tell you something. If you belong to God, he's going to call you to do things that blow your mind. This is what we do every day. Yeah, right. We're truly living in the grace because we don't have the ability to do that. And when we live in the grace, God lavishes. He lavishes his grace on us, and we can do great things for him because our eyes are off of ourselves and our eyes are completely upon the Lord, and we are completely dependent upon him. See, the grace of God requires humility. Humility is a prerequisite to have the grace of God. If you're not humble, which is total dependency upon God mm-hmm. and respect for other people, you can't have grace. Why? Because the Word of God tells us that God resists the proud, mm-hmm. but gives grace to the
humble.
The humble. You got to be humble.
Requirement.
It's a requirement. And God says, okay, you've humbled yourself. It's not about you. Mm-hmm. You're crying out. Here's grace.
Right.
Here's supernatural empowerment and enablement for you to do what there was no way for you to be able to do. And if you're living a life that's so close to the edge, to the shore, that you can do everything, then evaluate it. Evaluate it, because you're probably not doing much. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the truth. If you're living close to the edge, everything that's manageable, everything that you can do on your own, then you're not really in the deep.
Right.
You've got it all under control. Mm-hmm. All two things.
You got it all figured out.
All two things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, both of them.
But if you want to do great things for God, you got to go out in the deep. Mm-hmm. You got to go way where the water's way over your head. And all you can do is trust in the Lord. And this is a revelation that the church's first apostles had. I mean, almost every letter in the New Testament, all the letters begin with grace.
Yeah.
Grace. Grace. They understood it. They got it. That you need grace. And here Peter's telling us, may grace and peace be yours in abundance. There's an overflowing grace that's available to us. And oftentimes, you know, when we don't have a peace about a situation, oftentimes it's a clear indication that we've taken on way too much in our own strength. There's an agitation. We're stressed. Well, why? Because we're just doing it on our own. It's just time mm-hmm. to pull on over and say, God, what am I, Lord, I repent. Mm-hmm. I repent. I picked this thing up and I'm doing it on my own and I'm running with this thing mm-hmm. and I'm trying to force it to comply and bend it and twist it, and it's just not happening it because I'm doing it all on my own. Mm-hmm. But we can repent and say, you know what, God? Mm-hmm. Help me. Empower me.
Yeah. I can tell you how many times I've had to do that. It's so easy to get caught up in the moment. You're stressing. Yeah. Things are falling apart around you, and you just got to shake yourself and say, okay, all right, stop. Lord, I'm sorry.
That's
I
right.
Repent. Forgive me. God, I need your grace. I need your help right now.
That's right.
And it's amazing how many times he's come through.
Yeah.
He's just looking for some humility, you know?
Yeah.
It's not anything else.
And you got to remember that your life is not your story. Your life is God's story. Mm-hmm. It's God's story. Don't mess it up.
Yeah.
Don't mess up God's story, right, because he wants to use you and say, look, I didn't do this on my own.
That's right.
It's God's right. grace that did this. He's telling a story through you, but if you start picking it up, yeah, then you're messing up his story.
Yeah, he's looking for vessels he can manifest his glory, not your glory.
Exactly.
His glory. And if you're all caught up in your own stuff, in your own head,
that's right,
he's nowhere around.
That's right. That's right. Everything in God has everything to do with what he can do through us, not what we can do through him.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Think about that. It's not about what we can do through God. It's about what God can do through us.
Yeah.
And if you get it twisted, you're always constantly running around doing stuff saying, God, I need you to bless this. I need you to bless this. And God, would you bless this? And it's like, it should be the other way around. We want to do whatever God is blessing.
Mm-hmm.
So God, help me to find your will in this. God, I submit these plans and all this type of stuff to what you're doing and how I can flow in that. You know, he's in charge. You know, he calls the shots. We just don't need to mess it up. We just don't need to mess it up. And I think about Nehemiah. I think about the favor of the Lord. I think about, it's all about God's unmerited favor on our life. That's what the grace is. Grace is two things. It's God's unmerited favor. We don't deserve it, but it's all of God's goodness. Just say, bam, here, it's yours. It's just this beautiful grace gift. Mm-hmm. And it's the hookup. I call it the spiritual hookup. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's biblical, you know, just work with me. But God hooks you up with his favor. And the second part is God's supernatural empowerment, his enablement on your life to do what there's no way you could do it, but somehow you're doing it. And I think about Nehemiah. I think about how he was distraught and broken. And Nehemiah 2, that the walls of Jerusalem were broken down and the gates of the city were burned down. And he's distraught. And he's the cupbearer of the king. And the king says, listen, why are you so sad? What's going on with you? I know you're not ill. And he says, how can I be happy, basically? How can I be excited when the city, when Jerusalem, the walls are broken down? And so he starts talking. The king says, what's going on? And he asked for favor, basically.
Yeah.
You know, he wanted to go and rebuild the walls. And the king says, how long is this going to take? And
right.
He started talking. He says, okay, granted. And this is what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah says, because the gracious hand of the Lord.
Nehemiah
says that because the gracious hand of the Lord is upon me, the king granted my requests, gave him letters, gave him wood, every single thing. Listen, Nehemiah was a cupbearer. He wasn't a man. He was holding a cup of wine and saying, here you go, king. But because he moved in the grace of God, in the favor of God, in the empowerment of God, God's hand was upon him, and the king granted all his requests. Don't mess up God's story. Cry out for the grace of God.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.